Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, creator of What the Bleep Do We Know and author of How to Suffer, William Arndt.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Brandon Jenner. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, years ago, I had the opportunity to host many What the Bleep Do We Know house parties and attended many and was part of so many great discussions where I learned so much from our guest, who is the mastermind behind that. Years later, as life changes, we hosted a screening in a theater for Ghetto Physics, another film that our guest is the mastermind of. And now we have an opportunity to learn, interestingly enough, something completely different, and that is how to suffer. I think that's a little tongue-in-cheek. As a matter of fact, I know it is, and already I have been learning from our guest yet again in a way that I didn't expect to learn, and I got to take a page out of our guest's book and use it this weekend when I had an aunt die, and I went and visited my big family of cousins. And until I started reading the book, I was feeling like we were going to cry together, and I was going to be holding some hands and hugging and just being there. And then I read the book and I thought, what is it that I could bring? And one of the things that I felt that I could bring was laughter. And I thought, that might be the way that this suffering experience is going to go down, thanks to what I'm learning. At least that's what I was getting so far. So I did go visit my family this weekend, and I did my best to be very understanding and compassionate, and then to also bring in a smile and eventually some laughs. To the point where, as if on cue, one of my many cousins put her hand on her heart and said, "Filippo, thank you so much. I haven't laughed like that in such a long time. I needed that." So she could thank me. She can thank our guest, William Arndt. So looking forward to the conversation with him. And then later on, we're going to have a great Ask Dorothy segment and our performance guest, Brandon Jenner, all on the Life Changes Show, that I'm excited to get started. And our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, is here online.
And just when I thought I had mastered the art of suffering.
There's more to learn.
There's more to learn.
Don't worry, there are 10 easy steps.
Oh, fantastic. I'm really, really looking forward to this. And I, too, was deeply inspired and still refer back to my quantum edition of What the Bleep Do We Know quite often.
So. Right. Well, he started out, who knows how he started out, but at one point he was a research laser physicist, then turned software creator of Autosys, then film creator, producer, director, and of course of What the Bleep Do We Know and Ghetto Physics, and now author of How to Suffer. Welcome to the show, William Arndt.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you for this weekend's experience. How about that?
Yeah, how about it?
Well, is it in the vein? Am I getting the gist?
There's many gists, but the whole book is kind of a jest. in that it started out as laughter. And by the way, laughter is one of the amazing antidotes to suffering. But it happened because my wife was laying on the couch. Her back was out. She was in a lot of pain. And I said, "How are you doing, honey?" She goes, "Oh, I'm suffering. I am suffering." And I said, well, you do it so well. She goes, yes, I do. I am a master of suffering. And then I said, well, someone should write a self-help book, How to Suffer. And I said, it's a joke. She laughed. I laughed. Ha, ha, ha. And then we started riffing on it. And I came up with the tagline, How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps. And it's one of those things where you think, okay, I'm going to wake up the next morning and it, you know, you come to my senses. But 2 months later, I'm still thinking about it. So I started writing and didn't stop till I was done.
And so, interestingly, you said something like we say about the Life Changes show. We say how life changes is the only constant. Change is the only constant. You say suffering is inevitable.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, the Buddhist in the audience will go like, well, wait a minute. You know, Buddha came along and he had the Eightfold Path to get out of suffering. So it is possible. But, you know, one person out of the planet does it every once in a while. So for us mortals, it is inevitable. Something goes wrong, something will happen. And no matter how you try to build your life with success or with relationships or with fame or however you think will bring you joy in your life, something's going to break, something's going to go wrong, something's going to happen, and then you're going to have to deal with it. So once I started writing the book, I realized, oh my God, it's this thing that we all do. We don't want to do it, but we all do it. So, but aside from Buddha talking about it, I mean, there aren't really that many books on suffering and how different ways to approach it and where it comes from and looking at it from different perspectives and different methodologies. So that's what started happening as I was writing the book. I'm like, oh my God, this is like the elephant in the room. Everyone suffers, yet we never really talk about it. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing great. How about you? Oh, I can't complain, you know. Really, Bob just, you know, blew out his knees and can hardly move. How you doing, Bob? Oh, I'm great. So, you know, this is the idea of bringing the suffering instead of ignoring it. You know, sort of what you did over the weekend. I mean, it's, you know, the normal thing to do, well, everyone's going to be sad and okay, and you kind of shush it off. Think, okay, I'll deal with it when I get there. But what you did is you stepped back and you came up with an approach to it. Okay, there will be suffering there. What approach can I take instead of just reacting? Can I take? And that's a lot of what the book's about.
And taking it a step further, actually, I was recalibrating suffering again, thanks to your and my conversations actually this past week, and then starting to read the book, is that while I went to go do that with family, I actually had something much more potentially fun I could do that I had been invited to, but my aunt died. So, you know, I had this moment of, oh, I'd really love to do that. And in a sense, I could suffer about the fact that I didn't get to do that. Right. But I tried to find a better way to think of it, saying, you know, maybe that's perfect over there. And obviously it's perfect over here. So you're inviting us to look at this from many different angles.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, I mean, the suffering can come about from, you know, there's the physical suffering, emotional suffering, mental suffering, political suffering, you know, people who read the news all the time suffering. So the idea is, instead of just having it hit us and reacting, is thinking about how to deal with it. And, you know, the whole thing about the How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps, that's really the full title of the book. And I should explain that. And it's sort of a parody of self-help books, really. Self-help books promise you the world. Oh, you're going to get rich. You're going to find your perfect mate, your whatever it is. And, you know, people buy the self-help books, and most of the time it doesn't work. I figure I have the only book, How to Suffer, that really delivers because everyone suffers. You can't get away from it. So, you know, it's kind of a success that way. But yeah, and I mean, but also there's things that I don't take it that seriously. One of the things I talk about in the book is developing your own sufferometer. And the sufferometer is the, it's funny you said quantify your suffering earlier, but the sufferometer is a way that you can gauge how much you're suffering. Because usually we don't even, we just, but how much are you suffering? So on the sufferometer goes from 0 to 100, you get to set the dial to where it is, and then you get to say what caused the suffering. And then part of the sufferometer is like, what are one of the ways in which I can deal with the suffering? So the first half of the book is the 10 easy steps to suffering. The second half of the books is the 6 slippery slope to not suffer. And these are different ways and methodologies or attitudes or awarenesses that you can bring to the event to learn from it as much as you can and then move on.
So you're not saying that if somebody has a sorrow or a hurt in their life that they can't experience it. You're asking us to look at it potentially from an expanded view. I take it there's also a time and a place, right? So let's take your wife on the couch. She was in pain. You brought humor to the moment, which may have helped relieve some of that pain and take her mind off of it on top of it, right?
Correct. That's exactly what happened. And in fact, you know, it was kind of funny that once we got done with this whole riff, and I said, well, honey, would you like a little Chardonnay? She goes, sure. She gets up off the couch. We go into the kitchen, have a little Chardonnay. And I had asked her before, would you like some Chardonnay? She goes, oh, no, I can't move. And after we had the really good laugh, we were howling. Because we know a lot of people, friends with a lot of people write self-help books. So we were howling with laughter. And sure enough, afterwards, she just got up.
You know, speaking of your wife, because you mentioned her, I've been a fan and I've been on her list. I get her newsletters and I don't know how I missed this, that she's your wife. And I don't know how we've missed having her on the show. I'm just saying, so we might have to remedy that. But that's very cool that you can we say her name?
Yes, Deirdre Haid.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's her, Deirdre Haid Arntz. She, her real name is, we're married and she took my last name, but sort of out in the world, she's Deirdre Haid.
Right. So
you should definitely have her on the show. She's quite good. Very insightful.
Indeed. So thank you for reintroducing her to us. And so let's talk about some of the easy steps. Like, give us a couple, please.
Oh, one of the easy steps is attachment. Mm. Attachment. You know, you really, really, really love the local sports team. The LA Rams. Oh my God, the Rams this, Rams that. And you just really, you read all the stuff on the news and blah, blah, blah. And you get very, very attached to it. And then what's his name? Stafford throws an interception and then they lose the game and then you're bummed out, really bummed out. That attachment, which we all do, we attach to things, And the more things you attach to, it's like your field expands. And the more things that you attach to are an open doorway for that. So, you know, one of the Buddhist things that people talk about is not to be attached. Now, the reason why that's a slippery slope, because I say in the second half of the book,
right,
it's a slippery slope.
Right.
It's a slippery slope because some people take non-attachment to mean don't care about anything.
Right.
And they become, you know, cold, uncaring, uncompassionate people, you know, which is not the way you want to go. But so the question then is, how do you keep from getting those attachments? And yet, you know, you still love your wife, you love your kids, you care about your country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's like a fine line there that most people never think about. And again, that's one of the things of the book is like, well, there's all these things that we do that we just kind of do subconsciously or knee-jerk reaction. And the idea is, wait a minute, let me think about this attachment thing and whether I really, you know, do I really want to give the LA Rams the power to ruin my week? Now, some people would say, yeah, because if they win, oh, I'm high as a kite. But, you know, even that comes and goes. So there you have it. You know, so that's one of the easy steps.
It's interesting that when I was asking you, now maybe you were joking when you answered the question when I asked you on the phone if what was the bridge between what the bleep and how to suffer in 10 easy steps, and you said that there wasn't any other bridge but you. Yet I'm listening to you talk about this, and it takes me to the consciousness of the mind and how we think of things and focus on it and all of that, as in what the bleep.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was also a physicist, and you can probably tell that from reading the book too. I mean, the things that I've done in my life and the awarenesses from what the bleep, you know, and a lot of the what the bleep, we talked about people creating reality.
Right.
You create your reality, you create reality, you create reality. And, you know, what I found is some people take that to the extreme, that everything in their life is something that they create.
In their mind, you mean?
No, I mean, some people, I know people who are like, you know, if they were down in Florida when the hurricane went through, they'd say, well, I created that because I create everything in my reality. Mm. Yeah, and I once asked Eckhart Tolle about that whole create the reality thing. He says, well, people do create the reality, but we're also all connected. So saying that I create everything in my reality is, you know, a bit egotistical. I mean, the thing that we do create is how we react to things. That's where we really have the most say into our experience. I mean, things happen out in the world. There's weather, everything. But really, it's how you react to that defines and really sets up suffering. Like, for instance, I'm 72 now, and, you know, the old body just doesn't do what it used to do. And there's all these things I used to love to do that I just, you know, I can't do because physically I can't do it. So how am I going to react to that will determine whether I suffer because of it or not. So if I get really, oh man, I really used to like to go shoot hoops with the guys. I mean, God, damn it, I can't do it. Damn it, you know. And, you know, you feel miserable about that. That's one way to react. Another way is say, well, you know, I knew that was coming. That's part of being in the physical. And, you know, everything breaks, cars break, everything breaks. So, you know, I guess it's my time. And then accepting the reality as opposed to just fighting it. But again, this is something where you have to bring your awareness, you know, your consciousness, and instead of just reacting emotionally.
So where the first way of thinking of it would undoubtedly cause suffering, and then the second part, then the suffering is different. Still don't do the activity potentially, but how will you feel about it is different. I'm liking this connection actually, and I'm wondering how potentially when we come back actually after this quick break, if people create their suffering, Well, obviously they do based on what you just said, but if there are people that are prone to or are somehow continue to propagate suffering, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about how whether we're conscious of it or it's in our unconscious that we wish we would not suffer, that if we really were the ruler of our world, so to speak, that we truly wish that suffering would be obliterated. And your thoughts on that. I know you have lots to speak on that. It's also in the book. The book being William Arntz's latest offering, How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps. And it's available where books are sold. If you are on Amazon, you can look William Arntz, A-R-N-T-Z, and find his other offerings as well, a couple that we've mentioned. So a little more with William when we come back right after this. In our next segment, we have a great Ask Dorothy segment coming up. And then a little later on in the show, our performance guest, Brandon Jenner, all on the Life Changes Show at Home edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They are dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world to raise awareness about the issues we face and most of all to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at LifeChangesShow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, host of the Life Changes Show. This is our online edition. This episode is our episode number 705. How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps is the title of this episode, which, of course, we borrowed from the title of our guest William Arntz's book by the very same name. He was a research laser physicist, a software creator of AutoSys. A lot of people in the business know what that is, with over every 500 business company, I mean, every top 500 companies in the world using it. Film creator, producer, director of What the Bleep Do We Know and Ghetto Physics, and author of How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps. So William Arntz, enjoying the conversation so far, feel like I'm learning a lot. And since we kind of crossed that bridge to What the Bleep, what about creating our suffering?
Well, some people, yes, some people do that because they get a type of enjoyment from that. When they're suffering. Well, they don't, they like the suffering. They don't like the suffering, but they like the attention that it that they get from it. You know, you see people who play the victim game, and basically they will create situations where they're suffering, miserable things are happening to them. Oh my God, you won't believe what happened to me. And then, you know, the friends come by and bring them chicken soup or whatever. And they get attention that way. So they get some sort of pleasure out of that. So they create this suffering. I mean, it's really, you know, it's a hot cold type thing. It's a plus minus, you know, you have the suffering, you feel horrible, but, oh, you know, there is something from that. So that definitely is something that, I see people do. And so
that's
so
unconscious though, right? For most people, if they do that,
most people, you know, if you would say, well, you know, you're always creating these horrible things because you just want the attention, 90% of the people will go, no, what do you mean? No, I don't, but there is, you know, some people, I know there's been times when someone is doing that and I'll say, oh my God, you just create this because you get the attention and you love it. And there's like pause, and they go, yeah, I guess I do. So, you know, there, again, that's the awareness. That's the awareness where you're beyond your emotions, beyond your mental or your attitude, and you're just looking dispassionately at what is happening. And from that, you can basically get a clearer understanding of what's going on.
So interestingly, I have been in certain cities or certain experiences where a type of disaster happens, a natural or unnatural, and I found myself either in the middle or at the side of or somehow in this disaster of some sort, and I thought, like, I could have been anywhere else that day. I never go there, but I went when the disaster was about to happen. So am I looking for disaster, and that's why I went that day? Like, I've started to change that, but right. So there's that too.
There is that. And, you know, why were you drawn to that? I mean, on the one hand, I mean, some people get drawn to that because it's like, can't take your eyes off a train wreck.
Right.
You know, when something like that is, you know, flood is happening and earthquake and buildings are falling, it's so out of the ordinary. It's you kind of watch that. But then another thing, you may have been drawn there to for some other reason. Let's just, I'm not saying this was the case for you, but you may be drawn to that. So you see that and then you are so thankful that your life is as it is and isn't in the middle of the flood. So, you know, we get drawn to things. Again, we have the unconscious and the superconscious, and who knows why they're pulling our strings, but sometimes our higher self, you say, our superconscious, will draw us to things because there's something that we really need to experience that consciously you wouldn't think, oh, I need to experience this, but there you go.
Thank you for saying that, actually, because I know I have learned a lot from those experiences, and I use them in the work that I do. So that's very insightful. So thank you for that. In this book, you write, I hazard a theory. Every human being, either consciously and or subconsciously, thinks, believes, feels that if I could create life according to my wishes, hopes, and desires, I would not suffer. And then God laughed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, part of the reason why I wrote that is I had a number of things that I really wanted to do in my life. One of the things was make a bunch of money. And it was make a bunch of money and be successful at that. And I thought that, well, when I had a, you know, a bunch of money, then yeah, that, and feeling of accomplishment. So I had two software companies that I created, and I did that and sold them and made a bunch of money. And, you know, I felt accomplished, but yet after a while it goes away. And the other thing I always wanted to do was make a movie. And so I made What the Bleep. So, and about something spiritual, you know, I thought that's the ultimate. And so I did that. And again, you know, it's great to do it. I'm glad I did it and everything, but it's not the answer. And that's why people usually subconsciously, but also consciously think, oh, if only I could blah, if only I would meet so-and-so, if only, then my life will be wonderful. And that notion there just ties you to that whole desire cycle. You think, oh, if I do this, I'll accomplish it. But, you know, you accomplish everything. I mean, there's all these stories about these people who are, you know, very wealthy, famous, revered and everything, and they commit suicide. So it's not the external things. You still care about them and want to work hard and, you know, accomplish things, and that always feels good. But the fact that it will ultimately make your life worthwhile, it just ain't true.
So of all the videos that we could have put on our page for you that you're featured in, William, we chose the video that has you playing, oh gosh, what was it? A dog bowl guitar box or cigar, dog bowl cigar box guitar.
Guitar, yeah. That's it. Yep.
Like, what the heck? But I'm bringing this up besides what the heck because I want to do a quick plug for music because you are a smart guy and music is part of you. And so we had a conversation on music. I feel very important. So if you could tell us about that.
About the dog bowl resonator guitar?
Yes. And about music and how important it is.
Well, I always like music and have played a bunch of instruments. It's really interesting. They've done research now about sort of some of the stuff that music does. And one of the things they found is that music really, really, really helps people in mathematics. Now, you'd go like, well, what? I don't get it. But there's something, I mean, it's magical. There's something about the music that stimulates the brain in a certain way that mathematics is much easier and more enjoyable. So, you know, music, it's magic. And think about our culture. I mean, some of the big heroes are the rock stars. You know, back in the 19th century, it was the Brahms and whatnot. So there's something in the human psyche that people who are very accomplished in music are very revered. And going down to the other end, just people playing music. I mean, I think one of the things that's kind of a shame, not that I wouldn't want to have it, but about having all the recordings around now, is you just don't see people sitting around playing music like I did years ago. And I think that's very unfortunate because, again, there's something in that creative thing of music that is just, you know, it just lifts the spirit.
And bringing it back to How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps, speaking of lifting the spirits, it can ease suffering, right?
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
The right kind of music. The yep. Music that can ease suffering.
I mean, part of the reason with that is also a lot of suffering we loop. We loop. I mean, the brain kind of will do that, and then something is happens. You know, your sweetheart breaks up with you, and your mind just keeps going back to all the loss, all the loss, all the loss. So your own mind can create all that suffering for you. You know, and whereas then you go to a concert and it's a really good concert and you get your 2 hours of reprieve.
Mm.
And afterwards, it's, you know, you feel different. So,
and
I mean,
if
you've
got a good song looping in there, yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah, as opposed to the bad song, "Oh, she left me."
Well, and that could help too. It's all in the mix. And so we are at a time when created or not created, there is a lot of suffering, conscious or unconscious. There's a lot of suffering going on in the world right now. So whatever we could do to help ease that, and through your humor and wisdom, How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps does help. So thank you for that. Is there anything you'd like to add before we end our time here together?
The only thing I would like to add is...
Drum roll, please.
I was trying to think of something, but I didn't think of anything. So I guess, you know, the only thing I'm adding is silence. So there you go.
As is very important too. Well, William, thank you so much. What a pleasure to get to know you and have you share your wisdom and your passion with our audience. I have to say, discover, embrace, and own the mechanics of misery. That's an interesting tagline to this conversation of How to Suffer in 10 Easy Steps by William Arntz. The book is available everywhere where books are sold, along with other offerings by William Arntz you'll find on Amazon, etc. William, thank you so much, and all the best to you and your next project.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been nice chatting with you, and have a great rest of the show.
Likewise. Thank you. And let us know when that next project comes out. All the best.
Okay, will do. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Maria from Santa Cruz. As you know, I have many events that I pull together each year, and I have planned one for the end of this month. I've been successfully doing these events for years and have never experienced so many challenges as I am doing my best to put this one on. I keep feeling like I should wait a few months, as so much upheaval is going on, and I just have a feeling that if I do pull this one off, it won't be as successful and feels like the efforts required are stressing me out. My higher self feels like it is encouraging me to postpone this event until the end of the year, and yet I don't want to disappoint the people who have said they will come. What should I do?
My dear Maria, I love your events, and I know that you are doing these events to assist others in remembering how to love themselves and celebrate themselves, and that is awesome. What will be even more awesome is to see you choose a path where you are loving yourself and supporting yourself and making the most elegant choices possible for you. When we listen to our higher self and examine in a way all of our choices, we are loving and honoring ourselves, and this is the most important choice of all. I truly believe that the sooner we choose to love ourselves and make our choices based on this, instead of continuing to do things that we feel we have to do in order for others to be happy, the sooner we will find the bliss that we deserve, and this will make us better in our efforts to help others. So please, dear friend, honor yourself and make the choice that will not only serve you, but will better serve your audience.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Brandon Jenner, right after this on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to dorothydonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. This is the Life Changes Show performance segment, and we are having the pleasure of getting to feature singer, songwriter, producer, Brandon Jenner.
But before we get started, Filippo, I got to tell you, I had the benefit of getting to see Brandon live at Dreamland this past weekend. And of course, I've heard from a number of our friends, and it was Colin Martin that originally introduced, and some other friends that are close to the Life Changes Show have said, what a fantastic performer. But I was not only stunned when he was performing, but even before that, when they started filing in with the trombone and the flugelhorn and the trumpet and the saxophone, I knew I was in for a good night. But I haven't seen somebody put that much heart and soul into an audience in a long time.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. Brandon Jenner, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
How's it going? You can hear me okay, yeah?
Yeah, I hear you great. And great. I hear I missed a great show. That was one of the fun things that I was hoping to get to do this weekend. But I look forward to the next one. And Brandon, you know, that's high praise from Mark, who is a singer himself, who knows a lot of performers, and I've not heard him speak like that. And I just get the sense that it has to be somebody, you, who has gone through, you know, hell and back kind of thing, and is putting themselves out through the honesty of music.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, we've all, listen, on the outside from looking in, one might think, and there's probably a lot of people out there that still do think that I've had a very cushy and very easy and had the kind of life that has just been handed to me. But we all suffer our own, you know, challenges in life, and I'm no different than everybody else. And so there's definitely been some things in my life that I've had to overcome. And, you know, I guess I've kind of gotten to the point. I mean, obviously, I don't wish any ill will on myself or anybody else, and I hope for a relatively smooth path forward. But you know, the challenges are the things that define us, and those are the things that help us to grow. So, you know, I'm very grateful for all of the things that I've been dealt in my life.
Why is it important? You're quoted as saying that I think I've gotten better at giving myself the license to be truly vulnerable. And that's what's probably what Mark was feeling in the audience too. But why is that important to you?
Well, I mean, I'm a firm believer that we all benefit as a society when each individual is able to express themselves fully and unapologetically. So it's not just that I'm doing myself a service, but I actually feel like I'm doing a service to everybody else if I'm able to get to know who I really am and what drives me, and try to not be influenced by the identities that I've been told that I'm supposed to have in my life, and just to try to get in touch with, you know, who I am at my core and let that out and let that shine. I mean, you know, and I encourage every other person to do the same thing, because they don't just owe it to themselves. They owe it to me. They owe it to the world to be the best version of yourself. And I think the best version of yourself is one that is unapologetically themselves.
Wow. Well said. I have a feeling that some of that's going to come out in the first song, and we'll talk about it in a minute. Mm. Is it part of your album that just came out?
No, not one that just came out. This was a couple albums ago. But it's a song that has, you know, gained some good traction, and it's one that I just really resonate with, and it's also one that, like, just comes across well, like, in a room. You know, me and an acoustic guitar, it's kind of got I have an interesting way of playing the guitar on it, so it's kind of visually appealing, and it is a very free-spirited kind of a song, so it's one that I tend to fall back on, you know, when I'm doing something like this.
Well, perfect. Well, actually, so we'll talk about the album later. Then let's hear this. Here is Brandon Jenner performing live online his song Death of Me on the Life Changes Show.
My emotions are swimming through the oceans on the hunt for something to eat. Feeling kind of naughty, they circle around your body, so entranced by your heartbeat. They inch a little closer, creep a little lower on the now that comes after three. If they moving for the slaughter, cloud up all the waters, I know you'd be the death of me. Yeah, you'd be the death of me. You'd be the death of me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I know it's juvenile to dream about your style. Your smile really brings on the heat. I'm just so preoccupied with being satisfied. My eyes practice being discreet. We could meet up in the lobby, treat it as a hobby. Down the hall, insert the key. In that itty bitty room, I'd be lying in my tomb. I know you'd be the death of me. Yeah, you'd be the death of me. Yeah, whoa, whoa. You'd be the death of me. Yeah, yeah. I'm so damn thirsty, but your love ain't free. Thank God my instinct's looking over me. There's something special about the way that you move. Well, I'd love to have you all to myself, but somehow I know I would end up dead. There's no rhyme or reason for feeling what I'm feeling. No chance I could rinse and repeat. I'm just sizing up your love. The pain I'm thinking of, is it worth something so damn sweet? I could let myself surrender, become the great pretender, and die in my own dis-ease. And you'd look so beautiful at my empty funeral. You would know you were the death of me. Yeah, yeah. You were the death of me. Yeah, yeah, you were the death of me. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Brandon Jenner, thank you so much.
That was fun.
It was fun for us too. Thank you. Glad to hear you say that. Actually, it ties into what I was about to say in a moment, but I want to make sure that people know that they can go to BrandonJennerMusic.com to learn more about you. Your albums are there, et cetera. But you do a lot on Instagram. Do you want to give that address out?
It's just my name, Brandon Jenner, at Brandon Jenner. Yeah, Instagram's kind of like the only social thing that I've really gravitated towards, you know. I'm not really I try not to be on my phone too much and on devices too much, but Instagram is something that has always been a kind of a fun thing, because I like connecting with people too through it, you know, fans and just other people, anybody that wants to talk about a song of mine. I always like to get back to them and have a discussion about it. I'm always down for that kind of conversation.
Nice. Well, talking about songs of yours, and actually your songs in general, for a show like the Life Changes show, this quote of yours is right to the heart of it. I'm writing about the changes in my life, and I wanted to go back to what got me to play music in the first place, which is what?
Oh, I mean, the joke would be to get girls.
That's no joke.
And a lot of people do that in the beginning. But truly the reason why I decided, see, I grew up around music. Both my parents are musicians. My mom is a great lyricist. My stepdad is a great producer, and I was always around music and sang a little bit, and, you know, dabbled in a couple little instruments. But it wasn't really until I went to college that I was in the dorms and I saw all these other people in the dorms choosing what major they were going to be, and then they were switching it, and then they were switching it again.
Mm.
And everybody was trying to still kind of getting a feel for the world and how did they want to spend their life's energy, right? And that was really when it hit me, where I was like, you know, if I it's not too late. For some reason, I always thought, you know, I guess at 19, that the music thing was something that you just did when you were, you know, 4, right? You either did it or you didn't.
Oh, wow.
Because that's how it was with my stepdad. He was just, you know, born to play music. So at 19, I was like, you know what? This is, like, playing music and making music, it can really make a difference in the world. And it has a lot of longevity, you know?
Mm.
Like, I could be working on my craft for the rest of my life and, you know, playing sports or doing some of these extreme sports that I was, you know, very seasoned at, you could say, and practiced a lot, having a last name Jenner. That's kind of what I thought I was supposed to do. But, you know, I realized that I was just going to get hurt doing those things. And so I just dove straight into music. And as soon as I learned my first couple chords on the guitar, I started writing songs because I felt like I just had a lot that I wanted to say.
Wow. Why, speaking of what you want to say, why is it important, before we hear the next song, for you to have your music feel like a warm, cozy blanket?
Is it? Did I say that at one point?
You did. Well, it's written, maybe if I say the rest of the quote, I try to make it feel like a warm, cozy blanket. He laughs. And just like you just did, right on cue, I hope I'm able to be that way in life as well. So there's a lot wrapped up in there, if you excuse the pun.
Well, I do hope to be like that in life. I do hope that I'm a welcoming individual to people, and that people feel safe to be themselves with me and in front of me, and that they can open up about what they're going through in their lives. I definitely want to embody that in life. And with music, yeah, sometimes that's the case, if that's the kind of song that I'm working on or writing, but that's not always the case. I mean, sometimes I want to make people feel, and I want the music to sound, I want it to, like, really amp them up and energize them to, you know, you always kind of envision that, like being on an old, like a road in the middle of the night, and you're listening to a song, and the next thing you look down at the speedometer and you're going way too fast, you know?
Yeah.
Music just made you go. So sometimes that's what I'm trying to achieve. It just depends on kind of what I'm feeling in the moment. You know, I also try to give myself the license, which has been used before, but I try to give myself the license to be able to kind of make whatever style of music I want to make. I try not to just, like, stick into one lane, because we're, you know, our emotions are all over the place. It's a spectrum. And while I tend to be a bit more subdued and thoughtful, and that is most of my music, it doesn't mean that I don't feel, you know, upset sometimes or angry or energetic or, you know, So I also want to make sure that I'm able to express those emotions in music, and sometimes that comes out in different styles.
Well, nice. Well, we're going to get to hear what I think is a different style in Burning Ground. But before we go on, tell us about Oversized Soul.
Yeah, this is another like moment in time for me. I mean, making Oversized Soul was a wonderful experience, like every other record has been. And, you know, it's up to this date, it's the thing that I'm most proud of because it's the most recent thing. You know, I mean, I can't wait to make the next one because I know that's the thing that I'm going to be the most proud of. But Oversized Soul is, I think there's some fantastic tracks on it. I love Vibrations. I love Lonely Road. I love the way I'm Over Who You Think You Are. That turned out just really well. So there's just some great tracks on it. And I'm very, very proud of it. And I hope that, you know, my goal is always to think about the individual, because nobody ever knows if their music is ever going to really change the world in any meaningful way. But I know from experience and from getting messages from people that it has helped people get through the night sometimes. And that's really the thing.
And that's a lot sometimes. That's a lot. That's everything sometimes.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, that's Oversized Soul. That's the new EP by Brandon Jenner, and it's out now, and it's available where CDs, or music rather, is sold. I just dated myself with saying CD. We're going to get to hear, are you ready for Burning Ground?
Yeah, I'll play Burning Ground, yeah.
All right, thank you. Well, here's Brandon Jenner on the Life Changes Show performing live online his song Burning Ground.
Wake up with the morning sun, but the light never comes. The memories that kept us here through the years have gone on the run. My wounded knees have begun to bleed like never before. Though I'm in disguise, I'm your biggest alibi. The love spills to the floor. I don't know which way the world turns around, but it seems like it's all crumbling down. And I don't know how fast the wheel spins around, but it feels like we're just burning ground. Oh, it feels like we're just burning ground. Tragedy lies everywhere with me and everyone we know. So now when we see the clouds on fire, we just sigh and say, look how beautiful. You don't believe in what we've come to be. That's a promise you once made. Casting out the cries as the moon begins to rise, our love spills to the floor. I don't know which way the world turns around, but it seems like it's all crumbling down. And I don't know how fast the wheel spins around, but it feels like we're just burning ground. Oh, it feels like we're just burning ground. I would never dare, no. You've done what you had to do, after all I put you through. I don't know which way the world turns around, but it seems like it's all crumbling down. And I don't know how fast the wheel spins around, but it feels like we're just burning ground. Oh, it feels like we're just burning ground. We're just burning ground.
Brandon Jenner. Wow. BrandonJennerMusic.com. And of course on Instagram at Brandon Jenner. That's J-E-N-N-E-R. Brandon, your music, amazing lyrics. You're a poet as well. The lyrics could be poetry on a page. So, potentially there's another avenue for your lyrics as well. Just really beautiful. Thank you so much.
It's nice of you to say. I will accept that compliment with much gratitude. So thank you.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show, and look forward. Do you perform often live?
Absolutely. Come out to a show again. That'll be fun, huh?
Okay. So where?
Dance party.
People find it on Instagram?
Honestly, Instagram's the best way to discover kind of what it is that I'm doing and what I'm up to. Yeah, so I would encourage people to just go on there, give me a follow, DM me, say hi, say you heard me on this show, and can't wait to start a conversation.
That's at Brandon Jenner on Instagram. Well, Brandon, thank you so much. All the best to you.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. And with a big thank you to Brandon Jenner, we also say a big thank you to William Arntz, our interview guest. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.